You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
That it is you who are mistaken about a great many things.
Welcome to another great episode of SWTOR Reforged. This is episode 26 for Monday, February 24th, 2014. Our show is sponsored in part by TweakedAudio.com for quality headphones and 30% off. Use our code OFFTHERECORD at checkout at TweakedAudio.com and also by AudibleTrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Download your free book at audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork today. Today we're going to be talking about announcing end season 1 rewards, as well as some general discussion forum topics, Skyrim up the game a little bit, and get your own lucky 77 swoop speeder for being a subscriber, and my Starfighter screenshot contest. Well, the end is coming, and we got a little information for you today. Also, Agent Olan is going to be discussing the Lost Tribe of the Sith Part 2. Plus, on the Dev Tracker post of the week, class changes for Game Update 2.7. Our Star Wars recommendations of the week, your emails, tweets, and or Facebook posts, and SWTOR Podcast fan site weekly updates on our holofeed. I am your host and co-pilot this evening, Jedi Master of Arwen, and we've got Agent Olan sitting next to me right here in the cockpit of the Ebon Millennium.
Hey, Arwen. Hello, everyone over in Twitch, Hitbox, YouTube. Hello, chat room. What is going on?
And we are also joined by the wonderfully dangerous and dastardly Sith Lord Korv.
Greetings, minions.
But we're not alone here. Shout out from Q2F3 and Bodar. Not to mention that weird little thing that happens to be following around Sith Lord Korv. Yeah.
Hello, Treek.
Very, very interesting. What, I mean, is that thing ever gonna go away, or are we just constantly keeping this stupid stowaway on the ship here?
Eventually, she will master the control of the dark side and consume you in a bloody battle.
Freaky.
Wow, what an image in my head.
Oh. Did we mention that she currently bunks with Lou every night?
Didn't mention that one. Poor Q2's circuits are about to overload. Alright, guys. Well, we're sorry we didn't bring you a show last week. Unfortunately, when we were stopped on Tatooine, we had a Jawa steal one of our thrusters. Which, unfortunately, had been off the ship anyway, so it didn't take a whole lot for the Jawa to take the thruster.
We were going to do an episode from Tatooine, but when Yvonne got back on the ship, he found me passed out on the control console.
Yeah, it was a little... It was a long, hot day, and, you know, I pushed this button over here, which is supposed to...
No! Oh.
Damn it. There's a lot of electrical problems over here.
That smell's never going to get out of the shit now. Thanks.
Probably not, so...
Sorry about that. I couldn't hold it.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God. Well, hyperdrive is not exactly working all that well. Unfortunately, so there's really not much that we can do, unless, of course, we give it that swift kick here. That seems to be...
Hang on, I'll go throw another Jawa in the power core.
Thanks, I appreciate that, Fred.
Get in there, you little fuzzy bastard.
Oh, boy. Wait, hold on. And,
pedal faster, Lou. Pedal faster.
I think that did it. That did it.
Thank God.
Look outside the window.
Well, we're in the sky, but I don't think you're going to clear the atmosphere at this rate.
We'll have Treat get out and push a little bit. Would you like that, don't you? Yeah, all right.
Feel free to bite him, Treek.
Ow, ow. Well, before we get things started, as we take a little stroll back here through our corridors into our main dining facility here so we could sit down and talk, we've got something quick to mention, don't we, Lou?
And yes, we do. And here it is, the Swator Old Republic Community Cantina is heading to Atlanta, Georgia. All right, and this is from BioWare. You know, we're happy to announce that the next stop in the Star Wars The Republic Community Cantina Tour will be happening on Friday, February 28th, 2014, in Atlanta. This is your chance to join the Star Wars The Old Republic community for a development team Q&A, as well as complimentary drinks, food, and giveaways. And here's a little plus there. Every attendee will be receiving a highly coveted Tauntaun Fawn code. That's right, Tauntaun Fawn code. Space is limited, so be sure to come early. If you're in the area, make sure to stop by and hang out with us. So, where is it? Well, the venue is going to be held at the Tabernacle. All right, the date, again, 28th February on Friday. It's going to be held from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The address is 152 Lucky Street, Atlanta, Georgia. That's L-U-C-K-I-E. All right, so if you want to attend, you can actually RSVP on their Facebook page. Okay, although the Facebook RSVP is not required for attendance, you know, if you really want to get in early, go on their Facebook page, put a reservation there. All right, they look forward to seeing you there. The Old Republic Community Team.
Very good. Oh, man, I'll take a seat here and just sort of relax a little bit and hang out for a minute. Oh, boy. So, what have you guys been doing in-game since we've been stuck on Tatooine and haven't really had much to do other than track down that Jawa and get that thruster back, which, Bodar, you've managed to tack that thing back on, right? Well, yeah, we're up in the air, so it seems like you got it. Okay. All right. Don't ask the Wookiee too many questions today, I suppose.
You should probably know he took most of those parts out of Q2.
Poor Q2. Oh,
you know...
Bodar's a jerk.
So, Fred, what have you been doing in-game this week?
Mostly this week I focused on my trooper because he's the last one I need to unlock that buff for my legacy. And I'm almost there. He's finally on Hoth. All I gotta do is finish that planet. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Anything else?
Well,
I'm playing him. I was playing my Scoundrel some more. Got Scoundrel almost up to level 40 himself, which I just made him like a week or two ago. And I got him outfitted in their Republic officer's uniform, so I'm literally playing him like the mirror of my agent at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Very cool. How's that working out for you?
Pretty well. It was a little bit jarring at first because every Republic officer uniform that's available is blue and my smuggler is a Chiss. So I had to dye all that stuff. It ended up costing me like $500,000 by the time I got it the way I wanted it to look.
Did you really have to dye it all, though?
Yeah, I did, because he looked like a giant blueberry running around. Horrible. Couldn't even take him seriously.
I was going to say, did he look like a certain warlock-type tank pet that we all know about?
Yes, he was a void walker.
Yeah, he was a blueberry, huh? Okay.
Not just that, though, but the Collector's Edition Republic officer's uniform was too fancy for what I wanted him to have at a low level, so I had to do the on-rail space mission over and over and over again until I got enough comms to get the regular one.
I love how much like care, attention, and detail you take to outfitting your character in ways that I think a lot of people probably wouldn't spend their time doing. So I think that's really cool.
Well, Ivarwin, at this point, all I have left to do is get from point A to point B, so I might as well take some time to do it the way I want to do it, I guess.
It's very true. Anything else, Ben?
I'm sure that there's plenty, but I won't bore people any longer.
What about you, Lou? What have you been doing in-game this week?
A couple things, actually. I'm still working on getting my Marauder up to 55 and finishing the McKeb story on her, or finishing the Rise of the Cartel pack on her. Mm-hmm. I got sidetracked, though, because I got caught up doing the GSI missions and the macro binocular missions too. So I'm like nowhere near McCap as I'm going all over the galaxy doing those mini quests that those two NPCs give you. And one of these days, you know, I probably will finish the Hutt Cartel on her, probably by this weekend. I'm hoping to, at least. Knock on wood. And then I've also been working on both my trooper and my bounty hunter. So the Vanguard and the Power Tech,
okay,
respectively. Because I know that usually you and I, when we stream, we're on those characters, or at least I'm on the Trooper, the Vanguard character.
Yeah.
That way at least I can tank, and you can just go crazy DPSing things down in your Sentinel.
Yeah. Oh, Abby. God, I miss her. Lou, you and I have a little bit of an announcement to make regarding that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Tomorrow we're going to be doing getting back into live streaming some SWTOR again.
Yes,
we seem to have some time set aside. Finally, after a couple of weeks of being really busy, we finally managed to set aside some time for tomorrow. Now, follow our Twitter account at SWTOR Reforged. And we will be announcing exactly when we're going to do it. I know we wanted to, Fred, this is the first you're hearing of it, but we wanted to ask you, and we wanted to ask Rode from Torocast if you wanted to join in as well, which we haven't had the time either to ask him yet. But hopefully we'll be able to get a nice group going, and we'll be streaming some SWTOR tomorrow.
I'll answer after I find out if Rode's going to be there, or I'm going to be stuck with you two. But I did remember when Lou was talking, there was something big that I did 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
The Bounty Hunter Contract Week,
mm-hmm.
or Bounty Contract Week that came out.
Oh, yeah, that sort of has come and gone since we last did a show, right?
Yes, I did enough of it to get my reputation up to the friend level and cap out, and I still have some of the comms left, and it was enough for me to get the entire Bounty Hunter armor set and the giant freaking gun for my Bounty Hunter.
Very nice. Very nice. Good for you, man.
running around as a Cathar with a giant gun.
Yeah. I actually just bought the Cathar race.
You bought it? I thought you... Wait, you unlocked the other... Who did you unlock?
I don't remember unlocking anything. Not the last...
Not recently? Okay.
Not recently, no.
All right.
As sad as that is to say.
Did you make a Cathar yet?
No, not yet. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to really play the game in the last week or so. A lot of the content that we've been working on regarding Elder Scrolls Online, all those YouTube videos that hit our YouTube page, you know, that sort of soaked up my SWTOR time, unfortunately. But you know, it's kind of necessary to get that out. And then I know last week, you know, we had our SWTOR community show that we were working on. It's actually ToroCast. It's actually Rhodes SWTOR community show, but you know, we had quite a bit of a hand in helping out with that too. So I'm very proud of what Rhodes put together. It's a great show. We were able to interview Eric Musco as well, and it's like almost 4 hours long. It's a great discussion that we had about a lot of different, you know, controversial SWTOR topics out right now. And then we had the huge interview with Musco as well. So that was a lot of fun. And that is now up on ToroCast.com, and it will have its own feed, which will be hitting iTunes very shortly. And it does have its own Twitter feed, which I believe is at SWTORGGC. So if you want to follow that monthly show where ToroCast and UtiniCast and SWTOR Reforged get together and just sort of shoot the crap around the galaxy, that'll be it right there.
And I'm sure eventually we'll end up inviting some of these other people that are starting new SWTOR podcasts. But when we find out the exact information about the feed, we'll be sure to let you know.
Yeah, exactly. Fred, tomorrow, now I know we had said that, you know, Lou and I wanted to stream some Tor. I mean, are you available at all tomorrow to do that?
We will see tomorrow once I see what's going on with work.
Okay. All right. Lou, do you have any kind of time slot that you think would be best?
I would say makes it easy, any time after, I guess, 6 or 7 Eastern.
Okay. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I have an utter inability to do this tomorrow.
Okay.
Wow. This is the best thing you've ever done on the air, Evolvin.
I'm really embarrassed with myself right now. I can't actually do this.
Really?
Quick, segue away, segue away.
So, hold on, wait. Oh, Bonar, what's going on over there? Oh, Jim. Okay, so now
back
on
to the Cathar. Do you have any idea what you want to make with your Cathar?
Probably like a trooper, because I don't have a trooper, and I've started one in the past, and at this point I just kind of want to get one and get that buff, so I want it to be a Cathar, because how cool would it be to, you know, walk around with a trooper and have Jorgen as your as your companion.
Oh, so you're going to make a female trooper and romance Eric Jorgen?
No.
That's totally what Lou would do.
That's not, yeah.
Actually, I don't think I've romanced any. Oh, well, eh.
You romanced Man, didn't you?
Yeah, so I wanted to freaking, to max out the affection with him. He's more effective as a healer.
I swear, it was only to max out the affection.
That's
Doc, am I Sentinel? Not happening.
All right, segue away again. This is terrible.
Yeah, that's pretty awful. So So what we're gonna try and do is try and get a SWTOR stream up and going, and maybe Wednesday. Maybe Wednesday will be the day. I sort of lost my days, and unfortunately, for the SWTOR community who would be interested in that, tomorrow is one of my favorite days. I get to go see Jenny. So not going to happen, unfortunately.
I just hope that Jenny listens to the first part of the show and she's like, what, that jerk is going to do a live stream instead of coming hang out with me?
That jerk. All right, guys, let's check out what's on the old Hala feed over here while we're doing this. And look at this. This is interesting. Announcing end season one rewards. This comes directly from the SWTOR website. From Wednesday, February 19th, the PvP team announced the end of season one will be coming with update 2.7. And with those, and what the rewards will be when that happens. Now, we'll break that down for you today. But first, here's their post about the news from SWTOR.com. And I quote, "Greetings, PvPers. With the culmination of Season 1 quickly approaching, we know there is a lot of interest in this season's rewards will entail. Firstly, the end of Season 1 will come with Game Update 2.7, and your rating, when the servers come down for the update, will determine which tier you are in and what rewards you gain. The higher your tier, the better your rewards. One important note before we get to the breakdown of rewards is that the rating we are using to determine the tier you are in is highest earned, not current. So no need to feel like you're risking rating by going after the next tier. To see your highest earned rating, check the Warzone rating and stats page in the Warzone queue GUI. The rating displayed in the leaderboards are the current ratings, not highest earned. Speaking about leaderboards, once Season 1 has come to an end, all ratings will be reset and Season 1 leaderboards will be archived off, so you can always look back at who was in the top previous seasons." End quote. Now, Lou and I had a discussion off air a little bit about what they're talking about here with where you rank in the season and how you're put into these tiers. Because I think at first it's a little confusing, and I'll go over that in right now. One important note before we get to the breakdown of rewards is that the rating we are using to determine the tier you're in is the highest earned, not the current. So basically what that means is during all of Season 1, whatever your highest earned rating was at the end of the season will be the rating that they use, not where you're at the end of the season. So if you are, you know, much higher in the middle of the season and then for some reason you couldn't get in and play the game toward the end of the season and your rating has gone down as a result, you're not going to be rated based on that lower rating that's at the end of the season. It's going to go back to where you were in the middle of the season where you were at your peak. So now, Lou, I know you had some things to say about that. So what were your thoughts on that?
Well, when I first saw this, I thought this is a – I actually did a double take to actually reread that and make sure I understood it correctly. But I'm glad they actually put this out because, you know, over the course of time when they say highest earned, not current, and as you and I were discussing before, like, you know, there may be a time where the entire season you'll have players who did, you know, who did well. Hmm. You know, they had their moments where they did exceedingly well, but – like, say, for example, now we're approaching the end of Season 1, and maybe they're in a slump. Okay, maybe for whatever reason the game is off. Maybe, you know, the teams they were with, you know, they weren't so productive. And so they're going to have a lower rating.
Right.
You know, and that wouldn't be fair to them because, you know what, the entire time before that happened, you know, they were doing considerably well. But if you base it off their current status, you know, again, players have their ups and downs, just like everything else, so I'm glad they're going this route. They're rewarding players, I guess, for what I'm calling, you know, consistent play. Mm-hmm. You know, they're taking into account their entire performance. You know, looking over the entire span of the season, saying, you know what, at here you reach, you're number two. So even though right now, because of whatever happened, you're number 45, but we know you hit number two, we're going to base you on that because we know you can do that well.
Right. Now, Fred, what about you? What do you think about this? Does this impact you one way or the other?
Well, it will, because now that I see what the rewards are, I'm going to be getting in and starting to do some of the ranked PvP. But I think this is exactly the way that it needs to be, because if they didn't make it this way, people would get their rating up to a high rating, and then they would pretty much be like, okay, well, I'm not going to PvP anymore for the rest of the season because I don't want my rating to go down if I start losing.
Exactly.
So it encourages people to keep playing that character and keep PvPing on that character.
Yeah. I also feel like it also discourages people to jump in the 11th hour and bolster their rating up as quickly as possible. And you know, kind of like eking out at the last minute. You know, you would have people who have been working very, very hard for quite a while to get their rating up, and then all of a sudden, you know, at the last two, three weeks, you get someone who comes in who just, you know, smashes the competition, and, you know, oh, there I am at the very end here. Look at my rating; it's so much higher than everyone else. Right. So, I think it sort of discourages that behavior as well, which you know, I think is pretty good. When you're talking about, you know, a sport, an e-sport, where, you know, there's so many barriers between you and your skill, or I should say so many factors between you and your skill and where you rank, I think this kind of thing is very good. You know, you could be fantastic. You could be the best PvPer in this game, but if you've got a lot of latency, you're not going to see that. And I feel as if, you know, this system, the way they're doing it, is going to be the most fair system out there. Going on to the tier rewards. Now, I thought it was very interesting to hear you, Fred, say that you're going to be playing this now based on these rewards. So why don't you go through the rewards, and as you're doing that, just tell us a little bit about what sort of piques your interest, getting a non-PvPer to actually play the PvP rating.
Well, I've been doing PvP since the game came out, but I've never gotten into the ranked stuff because it looked like for a long time they weren't really going to give anything that was worth doing it. So, you know, I would just queue for the regular war zones and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But from the looks of it now, mind you, I don't know anything about the ranks themselves because I haven't done ranked at all. But from the way they're looking here with tier 5, it says rating 0001. So I'm assuming if you've done ranked at all, you're getting at least the tier 5 reward, which is a title. Mm-hmm. And then it moves up, like the tiers count backwards. Tier 5 is the lowest, and it goes up to tier 1 is the highest for the best performance. And at tier 5, you're going to get a unique inaugural tier 5 title. Which I'm assuming that these are going to be titles that every season they're going to come out with a new batch of them. So once the season's over, you won't have an opportunity to ever get that title again. In Tier 4, you get a unique inaugural Tier 4 title and a mini pet. Tier 3, you get a unique inaugural Tier 3 title, a mini pet, and ranked 1 armor set.
All right. Now, for those of you who are wondering what that armor set could look like, let me throw it up here on our video stream, and that is it right there. So, and again, all of this is at SWTOR.com. Okay, Fred, go ahead.
Now, Tier 4, you get a unique inaugural Tier 2 title. I think that's supposed to say Tier 4. I'm assuming, because it'd be weird to give you the Tier 2 title at Tier 4. But a mini pet, season 1 ranked armor set, and season 1 ranked weapon set, which they're only showing one weapon in this picture. It's an assault cannon, and it looks, you know, pretty badass.
Yeah. Look at this guy. He's just having fun over there, just shooting that thing.
It's like that scene from Aliens. Those two with the big guns were going off in that facility.
I kind of wish they would have showcased a lightsaber, too, though.
Yeehaw! Come get you some! Pew!
That's one thing. They don't seem to put out lightsabers nearly often enough. No type of Jedi gear or anything.
Yeah, no kidding. Come on, BioWare. Want some robes, want some sabers, man.
Man, there's all kinds of typos on this thing.
Yeah, there is.
It goes back to tier 5.
In fact, instead of tier 1, it goes back to tier 5. Yeah.
It's supposed to be... Wait a minute. What are they doing here?
Yeah, there's also
a... Tier 5 to tier 4 to tier 3 to tier 4 to tier 5.
There's also a spelling error all the way up on the top.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
They're the PvP team guys. They're math guys. They're maybe...
No, I know.
They're not
BioWare
English majors.
Fact checkers, please.
Okay.
Spell checkers.
So I realize now. All right. So tier 2 was unique inaugural tier 2 title. So that part was right. A mini pet, season 1 ranked armor set, season 1 ranked weapon set. And then tier 1, not tier 5, is unique inaugural tier 5, tier 1 title. Oh my gosh. A mini pet, season 1 ranked armor set, season 1 ranked weapon set. And Garada the Hutt's Rancor Mount.
That mount looks badass.
Sure does. Looks like a girl I went to high school with.
Well, then you'll be relieved to see there wasn't much competition.
Wow.
All right, there we go.
You know, it'd be funny actually seeing that in the regular world. You just see that thing move as fast as a regular speeder.
Man, though, BioWare needs to hire some kind of spell-checking editor.
So, Fred, which one of these rewards sort of piqued your interest?
Well, gee, I don't know if it would be the first tier 4 or the second one, or the first tier 5 or the second tier 5, but... I like the weapons. Like, the saw cannon looks really nice. Unfortunately, though, my trooper's only level 40, and there's no way I'd be able to get my rating that high before the season ends. But it gives me hope for the next season. I may actually try to get in there and just do some ranks to try to get that inaugural Tier 5 title. Kind of wish they would have told us what the titles would be, though.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself. Maybe they haven't settled on it just yet.
Well, I hope that somebody different types the actual titles into the engine than typed up this article. Because I would hate to get in there and it's like, oh, tier 5, the loser, but it's spelled the looser.
The looser. I'll tell you what, I like that that Rancor mount. That thing is really cool looking. It's pretty legit. What about you, Lou? What do you think?
Wow, I really hope that they go into more particulars because I think this is their main page for it so far. But I hope somewhere that they'll actually show the other weapon sets and armor sets.
Yeah,
all the other classes.
The armor set that they have on the site here. I'm not too keen on that one. The helm looks kind of horrible.
Looks like something out of 300.
Yeah,
in a bad way.
Like on the Persian side.
I'd say on that side.
A little bit, yeah.
Looks like some kind of Star Wars version of Iron Man. But I don't know that there are other armor sets. I think that might be the one armor set that you get if you rank high enough, and then there's just a different weapon type for each class.
Oh, so all right, one set for all, huh?
That's the impression I get because it just says season 1 ranked armor set.
Armor set. Okay.
And then it says weapon set, which implies more than one weapon. How mad would you be, Vormon, if you got your rating up as a Jedi and you got an assault cannon as a reward?
I would feel that it's strangely fitting for me.
There you go, Sergeant Rosk.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Here you go, Lieutenant Pierce.
Have that. All right, guys, let's see what's next on the old holofeed here. This is interesting. This came directly from the SWTOR forums. That's a post by Denath, who says, Skyrim up the game a little bit. Now, Lou, initially you're the one who delved in there. You put your... your knee-high boots on and waded through the mire that is the forums.
Yeah, exactly. And this one just caught my eye really quick because I figured, you know, with the fact that we just had, well, last year we came out with Rise of the Hutt Cartel, all right, the first expansion for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so this player created this post. He titled it Skyrim Up the Game a Bit. So to make a long story short, the player, he wanted to bring up at least three main points for discussion. All right. Now, this is what he or she wanted to do. Okay, or wants to suggest. A, stop creating new planets. Open up existing ones. B, massive creatures for ultimate mini games. And then C, an MMO without swimming? But the main point of the thread was stop creating new planets, open up new ones. All right? So this is part of the poster's text that I wanted to actually share with everyone. Okay? Again, he or she states, we do not need more planets. We already have several entire planets that are not being used to the full potential. Start opening up new areas. It could be for anything. Open up new areas that are more open and natural looking. So what I wanted to do was just ask, you know, the two of you and anyone's out there listening to the community, you know, whether yay or nay, do you agree, disagree, you know, what would you like to suggest? You know, in terms of, obviously, we're getting more content later on this year and following months after, but, you know, what would you like BioWare to do?
Yeah, this is a fantastic point that the poster, the original poster, brings up. Stop creating new planets, open up existing ones. Now, I sort of agree with this, but I tend to think that if you're going to open up new planets, you really have to focus on all of them at once and not just one of them one at a time, or have a development schedule that's known far in advance. You know, these planets are going to be receiving higher level areas than the planet is normally known for. And we'll be releasing that content on these dates throughout the next 4 months, 5 months. But he really says we do not need more planets. There are a lot of planets in the game, and it would be good to open up the ones that we do have. But to say that we don't need any new ones at all, I mean, there's so many in the Star Wars universe. There's so many in the galaxy that I think that a star map on my ship that's just overwhelmingly filled with planets is one that is going to have a fantastic leveling and story experience in it. I don't think you can go wrong with having more settings and choice as a result. You know, if I had, I don't know, a couple of years from now, three different places to go once I got off of Tython for the same level, I think that would be absolutely amazing. Over to Fred and then to Lou. What do you think about this idea?
I would have agreed that we needed to expand the planets that we have now until I started leveling characters up with my girlfriend, like one after another. Because now she's to the point where we get to certain planets like Tatooine, she's like, I'm sick of this planet. I don't want to ever see this planet again.
Right. Like, and Lou, you usually call out Balmora as being one of those planets too. Like, that's notoriously long for you.
Yeah. To me, it just seems the storyline at Balmora, you know, if you do your class quest there and all the additional planet quests.
Yeah.
And the bonus quest to boot. It just feels like that planet drags. At least to me. All right, let me caveat it. To me, it feels like that story just drags on. And it drags on for both factions.
Now, wouldn't it be great if you had a planet that shared Balmora's level range to go and quest as well?
realistically speaking, I don't think they're ever going to do that, though, because the class story ties so much into that planet.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, this is all theory-based. You know, I mean, the guy who posted this, I mean, he's basically, you know, calling for something that we all know is not going to happen. But, you know, gee, wouldn't it be nice if it did? And I guess based on theory, I guess is where this comes from, and I suppose my question is derived from.
Well, there's only one planet in the game that desperately needs to be expanded and needs more territory added to it, and that's Quesh. That planet is a freaking joke. You have like one quest line there, and you're done with the planet.
Yeah, pretty much.
They could definitely add high-level content to that planet. They could even do that this expansion, because it's a hut-based expansion.
Mm.
And Quesh is a hut-controlled world.
Do you think that if they were to, as I put my feet up on the old Ebb and Millennium table that we got here, do you think that if we were to have new content on these old planets, that it should be exclusively end level content, or do you think there's room to have not necessarily an alternate story, but just an alternate place to go that has its own story, its own quests?
Hmm.
Well, go ahead, Lou. I'm sorry. No, go ahead, please. Lou. Oh.
Yeah, go ahead, Lou.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, yeah, I think that would be a really good idea. I actually want to bring up a point here. All right, I'm going to try and pronounce this person's name. I'm just going to say Sequay. All right. He or she mentioned the chat room. Again, you know, it would be nice, but it won't happen. Right now, he's or she's expressing that the best we can get is something like Section X or the Black Hole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Black Hole's on Corellia, Section X is on Belsavis. And you know what? I would settle for that. Because to me, that's still using... you're still giving us new content, you know, new quests to do. But you're going back and you're revisiting these these worlds that are present in the game. And to me, you know, they do feel underutilized. Like, you're there and you never go back. You really have no reason to go back to these worlds.
I have to disagree, Lou. I really, 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 really do not want another daily quest hub. We've got so many in the game as it is, and it's just... Choice is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying that, you know, putting more in isn't either a good thing or B, necessary. I'm sure at some point, you know, it is a good thing and necessary, but I also feel like if they were to expand, the current territory in the current planets, you know, I gotta have something more than just daily quests to do on these things. Otherwise, it just doesn't appeal to me. And that's just me. That's just my opinion and what would appeal to me. And, you know, I'm sure everyone out there would think differently. But to me, it just wouldn't appeal to me.
Well, you know what? Well, I'll go. You know, let me build on that if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That actually, you're right. All right. I would see. Another different type of dailies hub would be nice, okay? But to build on what you're saying, if I get this right, okay? Folks, you know, if you've been following BioWare through the years, you know they always have what I guess I call their staple cast of voice actors and actresses, okay? You know, for example, you know, if there's a BioWare game that doesn't come out with Jennifer Hale in it, that's shocking. Okay, or if she's not the main character, she does a lot of supporting roles in those games. Okay, because believe it or not, she does have an amazing range of voices to do. You know, just look up on YouTube, the amount of stuff that she's done over the years. So, you know, like her, Kat Tabor. All right, Kat Tabor, if you love KOTOR, you know, that's Mission. It's Mission Val, or Vet in SWOTOR. All right, she's always in their games doing something. And I think with this, if they have a small, dedicated cast, I think they could maybe try and get away with, you know, putting back the voiceovers into these quests, you know, making new quest areas on these existing planets, you know, and again, broaden up the leveling range, meaning, you know what, you know, Alderaan, what was that, maybe a 30s type leveling planet,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly. Okay, if maybe if you don't want to pursue the storyline on Alderaan for either your class or do the planetary quests there, you know what, maybe go to, you have a different part of Hoth to go to, okay? Or another seedy part of Nar Shaddaa that you can go hang out in, you know, and do stuff there.
Right.
You know, expand the storyline there. You know, when you first went to Nar Shaddaa, you were this level. But now that you've grown up, you're more wiser, you're more experienced, now there's a better part of the planet that's got even more, you know, seedy underworld types there doing dastardly stuff, you know, with Imperial and Republic elements in there trying to gain their foothold in the Syndicate, you know, trying to sway them onto their side, you know, expand the story that way.
Fred, over to you, and let's get your final thoughts on this topic here.
I just really think if they ever go back to the old planets, all they're going to do is either world events or a daily hub. I don't see them just putting in alternate quest hubs for the different level ranges, because I don't really think they're concerned with the leveling experience, because it is phenomenal. It just gets repetitive when you do it time after time after time. So they want to give you more at the end game to do, so you don't have to keep leveling up alts.
Good point. All right, guys. So on to a much bigger topic here, which is going to be class changes coming to Game Update 2.7. But first, we just want to call out audibletrial.com. Thank you very much for sponsoring our show in part today. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you are looking to catch up maybe on your reading, but you just simply don't have time to read, well, you're listening to podcasts. When you're done with our wonderful show, maybe you head over to audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork and sign up, getting a free account over there. And you can get a free book today, a free 30-day trial. And you may want to try out a whole bunch of different audiobooks over there. It's a fantastic place. I love Audible, audible.com. I signed up myself for Christmas, and I haven't looked back. There's tons and tons and tons of books on there. But as a Star Wars fan, what appeals to me about Audible is that there's so many Star Wars books out there that have been written. I've never actually gotten into any of them simply because I just don't have time to read and I don't really care to read. It's just not what I do. It's never been what I do. And I think maybe a lot of you out there probably would identify with that. Well, you don't have to be left in the dark any longer. If you head over to audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork, you will get that free book. And you can start jumping into some of the unbelievably expansive and immersive Star Wars lore that is out there. I mean, you're probably very, very interested in SWTOR, since you're listening to a SWTOR podcast. We would recommend Revan. It's an unbelievably phenomenal book. One of the best I've actually ever read, despite the fact that it's a SWTOR book or a Star Wars book. It's one of the best stories I've read or I've had read to me, as it were. It's a wonderfully produced book. The voice acting is very good. And on top of it, what I like about it, which is a character about Revan and the SWTOR novels that I don't think a lot of other books, audiobooks do have, which is this cool little background noises. As you're listening to the book, you feel like you're standing next to the characters because of all of the ambient noise that really fleshes out the setting. So one of the many reasons why we recommend Revan, you can get it for free right now if you head over to audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. And when you're done with that, when month number two comes rolling around and you're itching to get yourself another SWTOR novel, you may want to check out Deceived as well. Now, these books tie directly into the Star Wars The Old Republic lore and overall story. And a lot of the characters in these stories you're going to run into in the game, or maybe you've already run into them in the game. Well, you're going to find out a lot about their back history. So once again, thank you to audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork for sponsoring our show in part today. And again, get your free book over there. Free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork. Fred, maybe you can introduce us here to our next topic, which get into here and pull it right up for you. Ah, very nice. Dev Tracker post of the week from the SWOTOR forums.
Yes, there are a list of new class changes that are coming in Game Update 2.7. Because Eric Musco didn't get tired of the Venom last time. On February 14, 2014, Eric Musco, the community manager, gave players a heads up for upcoming class changes in Game Update 2.7. And he made basically a bunch of little threads listing individual changes that are going to be coming to every class. And amongst the most noteworthy is that the ability that agents and smugglers have that basically incapacitates about 5 targets, I think it works on now, at once when you activate the ability, the flashbang, is now being nerfed to only affect a single target. Hmm. And I think that I should pass the opinions over to Ivarwin. I got you covered, man.
Well, If you're calling attention to the rant that I got into the last episode,
otherwise known as the best moment ever podcasting with Ivarwin.
Hey, listen, you know I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm just saying when it comes to MMO development, me personally, I don't understand why developers choose to ally their class changes toward PvP to the point where it hurts the PvE game. I don't understand why they do that. Many of you may disagree. Many of you may agree and say that you have noticed the same thing. I throw my bottle of Jawa juice out there, but there you go. That is something I feel. So there you have it. But more importantly, aside from my silly little opinions, we do have this class change thing coming up for Game Update 2.7. And Lou, maybe you want to sort of highlight a little bit of this as well.
Sure. Which part would you like to focus on?
Well, you know what? Whatever kind of grabs your goat on this one.
Okay. Well, let's see. Well, I put something here in the notes as a reminder, so I'll just go with that.
Are you talking about the quote from Eric Musco?
Yeah. Or did you want to go somewhere? All right, hang on.
Mm-hmm. We're getting there, folks.
Yeah, because actually, they updated this page today, actually. So there's a bunch of stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
Now I gotta, thanks, Eric. Now I gotta track down the other stuff.
All right. So basically, what's going on here is now we're getting this information from the Dev Tracker post forum. All right, and Eric had posted links to individual class threads discussing these proposed changes. Now you can visit the particular class thread to keep an eye on these developments is something that was highlighted, and also be advised it's not a comprehensive list either. These changes are going to happen as per the combat team, and of course as Eric Musco keeps updating us. Now here's a quote. He says, "Now here's an example. Hello, sorcerers. Below you're going to find our current list of changes slated for Game Update 2.7. Again, this is not a comprehensive list of all the changes, and all changes are subject to change. Our goal with these changes was to address the class's survivability slash viability, along with some, in quote, quality of life for lighting. Here you go, end quote. So, Lou, some of these points, please.
sorry. Okay, here's one point. Forest barrier now has an additional effect. Mm-hmm. While you are protected by forest barrier, charges will build up and grant Enduring Bastion. Enduring Bastion is a shield that absorbs an amount of damage based off the charges, which can be 1 through 4, 1 to 4 charges, that are present when Forest Barrier ends. Enduring Bastion also grants immunity to interrupt and lasts for up to 5 seconds after Forest Barrier ends. Alright, another point I want to bring up, Polarity Shift. Polarity Shift will now make the caster immune to pushback along with interrupts. Innervate is now immune to pushback. Lightning Barrage now has a 50%/100% chance to grant a Lightning Barrage charge when using Lightning Strike on a target affected by your affliction. A Lightning Barrage charge causes your next Force Lightning to channel and tick twice as fast. Lightning Storm now builds a charge whenever you deal damage with Lightning Strike, Thundering Blast, or Force Storm. At 2 charges, Chain Lightning's cooldown is reset and the next cast of Chain Lightning activates instantly and has no force cost. This effect can only occur every 10 seconds. And the one little point, the last point I want to bring up for this one, was Wrath now builds up a charge whenever the sorcerer deals damage with Force Lightning. At 3 charges, the next Lightning Strike or Crushing Darkness is cast instantly and deals 35% more damage.
Alright, now what does all this mean?
It means sorcerers are getting a buff.
Hmm.
Yeah, to me this looks decent. Mm-hmm. Again, I haven't played my sorcerer in a long time, so I will admittedly be a little rusty on the sorcerer play. But you know, I do like that Force Barrier will not have that additional effect. Okay, especially now once it ends, at least it'll give you at least 5 seconds where you can't be interrupted.
Okay.
Okay, because usually what happens is that when your shield, usually when your barrier goes down, it's because you know you're either being attacked and it's absorbing all that damage.
Mm-hmm.
So when it ends, you know that you know if the attacks don't interrupt you or at least cast you know cause you to cast longer, at least now you have 5 seconds to at least get something off. You know, like get another skill off or another heal or what have you. To at least, you know, get out of that situation you're in. You know, or help out another teammate.
Fred, what say you on some of this? Now you're saying that, you know, obviously this means that, you know, they're getting a buff and you know, that's pretty obvious. I mean, is there anything that regarding some of this that you want to call attention to maybe?
Well, I just think that probably most of these changes were a result of PvP as well, because I think this means sorcerers were getting destroyed, because a lot of these are buffs to their abilities that protect them. Like the Force Barrier putting that effect on them now so they can't be interrupted for 5 seconds. They were probably getting attacked, their Force Barrier was dropping off, and then they'd try to heal themselves and immediately get interrupted. So now they probably have a lot more survivability because they can actually get a heal or two off before they're actually interrupted.
Right. Now, what's great about this is that a lot of these different class changes are appearing on the dev tracker post. These we picked out were the source for the sorcerer were, you know, the most probably the most relevant for the time in. But there are things here for the scoundrel, operatives. I'm looking at it now, mm-hmm. And you know, all of these are now on the PTS. So if you want to give them a try. And sort of lend your opinion to BioWare on these changes. Big changes coming for 2.7. Some of them good, some of them bad. You know, a lot of noise in the forums over this. And you know, the community team's got their hands full regarding this. So they are going painstakingly, step by step, class by class, trying to make sure that these updates are getting filtered in a transparent way to the community, and so they can sort of lend their opinions on this. Again, it is on the public test server, so nothing is set in stone, or so they say. Lou, is there anything else about this that maybe you wanted to call attention to?
Other than probably trying to go, as I know some of the changes to my favorite class, the operative. You know, and Fred actually brought one up, not you know, just a few seconds ago, about the operative, especially in regards to their flash grenade.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, the flashbang.
Let's talk a little bit about that for a minute, because I mean, you're for the operatives out there, and Lou, you're a huge operative guy. What about 2.7 in operatives? Are you thinking regarding their changes?
Well, some of them, you know, I don't understand why they're being done at all, and why it's affecting. I guess my style of gameplay.
Do you have the list in front of you?
Yeah, I'm actually pulling it up right now.
All
okay,
right.
I'm just going to go over again what Fred and I just mentioned a couple of seconds. The flashbang now affects only a single target, okay? Admittedly, I don't PvP on my operative, okay? I PvE on her, all right? Flashbang, you know, to me is a very useful tool, as it should be, you know, because if you notice, you know, when you play the game, have you ever found, like, really single mobs by themselves? No. What you will find are those in packs. Okay, you'll find packs of mobs. Twos, threes, you know. Or if you get crazy and you aggro another group, yeah, you'll get six on you.
Right, okay. So it's always good to have that AoE sort of stun, if you will, in order to kind of, you know, as Shank would say, peace out in parkour. Kind of
right.
Get the hell out of there.
If not just a peace out in parkour, in which case I would hit my cloaking screen, or I would, you know what, use that to either snap off a quick heal on myself, okay, or slap on a couple of heals over time on myself, or since I'm PvEing, or on my companion, my tank companion.
Right.
Whether I'm using, you know, if I use Scorpio.
Okay.
Okay. Using that's one skill, and she's always going to be surrounded by two or three or more mobs.
Right.
It is a very useful tool, and now to be told that it's only going to affect one target, you know, I'll probably find a way to adapt to the change, but, you know, at least
hit.
Here they say later, they do follow up, though, by saying preparedness will additionally allow flashbang to blind up to 5 targets within 5 meters. So at least they're giving us that.
Right. It's just not an instant and a given and 100% every time.
Right.
Now, what is the Shadow Operative Elite will now give the operative a short window of defense against all attack types.
Okay. That probably is the Shadow Operative Elite. I believe that is mostly a PvP work.
Okay, now is that something that's going to directly affect you as you see it right now in your play?
No.
Okay, so that's that. All right, and then moving on to escape plan will now reduce shield probe by 3 to 6 seconds, down from 7.5 to 15.
Right. Yeah, that's always handy. Yeah, that's handy. So, but yeah, again, there are additional changes as well that they were talking about here. I know we mentioned some of them on our last show.
Right, specifically calling out maybe their ability to heal.
Right. Or, for example, one of the changes that they're looking to introduce in 2.7 for us to test on the player test server, surgical precision can now only grant tactical advantage every 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, I would say on both sides of the house, you know, on both PvP and PvE, 6 seconds, you know, that can be that's a long time.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, and for operatives. Especially, you know, the way I play my operative is she's heals, all right. So she's medicine, all right. And having tactical advantage or TA, you know, is crucial to fire off a lot of our best heals. So now having surgical precision, only able to grant you that every 6 seconds, as opposed to, you know, every couple of seconds when you meet the requirements, man, that can mean the difference between helping your group survive or helping your tank companion survive or anyone in your party survive or, you know, and failing at the task you're trying to perform.
Now, obviously, there Eric Musco is saying it's not a comprehensive list. It is here on the Dev Tracker post, just to remind you once again, there's lots of different classes on here as well, including changes. And these are just proposed changes on the PTS right now.
Exactly. And that's the one thing I'd like to remind everyone, just to reinforce. Yeah, these are the changes they're introducing right on the PTS for us to test out. So, again, as I've already mentioned, it's not a comprehensive list, not yet, but every class is listed. So you know your advanced class is going to get touched in some way. Mm. So, you know, if you want, please head over to the forums, look up the changes to your classes that you play, and, you know, if you have time, just weigh in. You know, go to the PTS and just weigh in on what you think, you know, could be improved or should not be enacted. You know, let them know.
Fred, over to you. Regarding the changes at all, is there anything that you see on these lists, whether it's with the Sorcerer or, I mean, you got a lot of tunes, man. You play a lot of different ways. Is there anything here you sort of want to call attention to?
Well, again, with the operative thing, the Shadow Operative Elite is actually a talent point that has two ranks, and it increases your effective stealth level by one or two. In addition, when you activate Extral Strait, you have a 25 or 50% chance to trigger evasion for 1 second under its current iteration. And I believe they're going to replace the evasion ability with something that prevents all damage instead of just the melee damage.
Okay.
That's the change that they're going to make to increase survivability a little bit. But the part that really baffles me is they're doing the same nerf with the flashbang to the snipers and gunslingers as well. And like Lou said, with his operative, if you get in over your head, you just vanish and you keep going. When you're a sniper or a gunslinger, you don't have that vanish. Right. Whenever I play my sniper, if I get in over my head, I always do a flashbang and take off. And they're taking away my number one method of escape now on my sniper. Because I can't heal. I can't do anything to keep myself alive other than take a med pack and run now.
Right, and the fact that you can only use a med pack once during a fight, you know, you're pretty much dead after that.
I mean, I could maybe see doing it to operatives and scoundrels, maybe, because they still have the ability to vanish and get out of combat somehow, but that's going to be crippling to snipers and gunslingers.
Hmm. Well, hopefully that's the information that they receive on their end, and they realize that and either and adjust or don't implement the change.
It would be great.
All right. Guys, anything else on this that you want to either call attention to or talk about at all?
Nope.
All right. Again, since we are talking about Dev Tracker Post of the Week, Server Droid reminds us that on February 25th, all game servers for and SWTOR.com and the launcher will be unavailable while we perform scheduled maintenance. Game update 2.6.1 will be implemented during this downtime. Details are as follows. Again, Tuesday, February 25th, which is obviously, you know, today as you're listening to the show. Duration 4 hours. It's going to go from 3 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that again is 11 a.m. GMT to 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. During maintenance, all updates and additional information will be posted on our Twitter account. Thank you for your patience as we maintain service of Star Wars The Old Republic TM. All right, moving right along. Let's see what else we have on our old holo feed. And, oh, hey, look at that. Get your own lucky 7-7 swoop speeder for being a subscriber.
Oh, yeah.
This information is coming directly from SWOTOR.com, and they say, and I quote, "We're giving away the new lucky 7-7 swoop speeder to all our subscribers on March 18th, 2014, With a unique gold and green color combination, the exclusive Lucky 7-7 has a chance to hit the jackpot when summoned, kicking off a fun animation that tosses holographic coins everywhere.
Damn.
Speed into the galaxy and be a subscriber by March 17, 2014 to take ownership of this exclusive speeder. For more details on this promotion, go to swotor.com/lucky77 to become a subscriber. Obviously, go to swotor.com as well. This is stupid.
I know. They want me to subscribe. What a pay gate. Bull crap.
No. I like that. That's just fine. And I don't mean to be a negative Nancy. I really honestly don't. What I think is stupid is just this mount. This mount, I just don't like it. It's just so non-SWTOR. It's so non-Star Wars. I never once saw any of the Star Wars characters get on a speeder that looked...
ridiculous?
Not necessarily look like that. I don't care what it looks like. I just don't like the fact that you get on this thing and just coins just fall out of it. Like, it's fun. It's a video game. It's supposed to be fun. I get it. But it's just,
it really is. It's kind of an immersion breaking mount.
Yeah. You know, and I don't mean to be that dumbass troll that you hate on the forums. Cause that's really how I'm coming off right now. I really am. But you know, the fact is that it's not something you're going to see in the Star Wars universe. You know, Star Wars Episode 7 is not going to have the Lucky 7-7 swoop speeder, and you know, no one's going to get on this thing in Star Wars Episode 7 and coins are just going to come flowing.
Well, it might, because Disney owns it now. But let's remember for a moment now, there is no coined money in the Star Wars universe. Credits are held on little cards.
Yes,
credit chits. Yep.
There is no freaking money in Star Wars. Where do the gold coins come from? Are just pieces falling out of your speeder? Metal confetti?
beyond that, you know, maybe Bodar. I mean, what do you think about? Okay. All right. I mean, do you plan on getting this thing, Bodar? Well, you got to subscribe, buddy. All right. Okay. So, Lou...
I'm going to make a body type 4 Cathar Jedi to ride around on this thing.
Wow. I mean, I'm going to say, you know, I appreciate what BioWare is doing here with this. I mean, yes. I think it's cool, first of all, that they actually are doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it's a subscriber reward, which I think it's good.
Yeah.
All right? You're rewarding the community that's actually up to you.
Mm-hmm.
However... Yeah, I could do without the coin animation. I mean, the speeders are cool. I like the speeders in the game. I really do. I mean, I unashamedly waste half my money buying the different speeders in the game.
I mean, they're cool looking. Be honest, though, Lou. The only person that's actually going to ride this thing are the people that are playing Republic side, playing the Chiss with the pink skin, the bright pink hair, and wearing the armor that's dyed that ridiculous bright purple that looks pink.
And it's the extrovert gear.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody sees right. All the Chiss females running around on their public side that are played by a bunch of dudes, making them look as colorful as possible.
But the thing is, you know, again, I want to go over and say thank you, BioWare, for giving us this. However, please next time rethink the animation.
Yeah, I mean,
it was fun doing it with the Christmas speeder. I mean, that was cool.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't cool.
That hey, was I'm not... a snowflake, damn it.
No,
man, that wasn't. I'm not even going to ride this thing. Like, I'll claim it. It'll be in my little vehicle thing, but this is a mount that I will never ride.
Yeah. I agree. I'm just... I would be into anything else that didn't have just like an obvious lore-breaking you know, attribute to it. And that's really all that sort of – and I really hate to kind of just let the conversation descend into, you know, well, it's breaking my immersion. It's lore-breaking. But, I mean, it's just – it's in my face, and that's how I feel about it. But, Lou, I got to commend you on the fact that you absolutely call attention to the fact that, hey, this is really cool. It's cool that they're giving subscribers a little extra incentive. I think more people should be subscribed to this game, because the more people that are subscribed to it, the better off BioWare is, and maybe they can hire more employees and more resources dedicated to the game, and the game gets better as a result of resources being pushed into the game. In theory, of course. So, you know, I agree with that. I think that's cool. And I like the fact that they're giving subscribers a little extra incentive. So.
No.
No.
This mount is garbage, dude. They should have given us a Rancor that crapped out gold coins or something.
Oh, man.
I mean, come on. If you're going to take this route, give us some kind of organic mount that has, like, a ridiculous golden green saddle on it. And just, like, randomly pukes up coins.
Well, like I said, I disagree with it too, but there you go.
Coins don't even exist in the Star Wars universe.
They do not. They do not.
Or I should put one last thing. A multi-person vehicle.
Thank you. There you go.
That would be an awesome subscriber gift.
BioWare, please. Multi-person. Next time you want to give us subscribers a little incentive, let me go to my friend and say, hey man, if you subscribe, right, we'll get this little speeder, and it'll be a multi-person speeder, and it'll be really cool to fly around the galaxy with my girlfriend on the back of a speeder in Star Wars.
Yeah, you'll get that around the same time that they'll let your companion ride in the taxi with you.
It's like, where do they go? Are they hanging off the back?
You kind of leave them there, and then somehow they beat you there every time.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? It's like, how'd you get here?
All right, well, moving right along to our final discussion point here. Let me just download it from onto my data pad here from the feed, and okay, Lou, this is all you, my friend. My Starfighter screenshot contest.
All right, thank you, kind sir. And as Ron just mentioned, yes, Swolator is holding my Starfighter contest. Meaning, since Galactic Starfighter came out, you know, you can customize your Starfighter any way you want. Okay, so what they've been doing. For the past few days, past week or so, they want you to send your best screenshot highlighting your Starfighter. So essentially, they want you to trick it out, pimp it out, whatever. Do your best to get it looking pretty. Get that Starfighter looking great. You know, find a nice backdrop to it and send it in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. However, here are some caveats, though.
It's over.
Yes. Okay. The screenshot cannot be retouched or enhanced in any way. Okay. You have to utilize the in-game environments and objects. So you cannot take your Starfighter, take it out of that whatever format you save the screenshot in, JPEG, get whatever, and you can't put it in your own background. You have to use the environments that are in the game. So it has to be in the game itself. Okay. So you could be in danger of getting blown up if you stop to take screenshots. But there's the warning. It has to be at least 800 by 600. Okay. And yeah, they would like you to turn off user interface.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as always, the submissions are subject to the Electronic Arts Terms of Service. Okay. Now, when you send them in, email your screenshots along with your character name, the server you're on, and country to submissions_en@swoltor.com. Okay. And we're mentioning this now because the contest is actually over by today. All the submissions were due by today. But we wanted to mention this, you know, in case you were actually participating in it. Hey, we didn't forget about it. We know this was a big event going on right now. So stay tuned. Okay. And what's going to happen is that if you do win, one of the things that's going to happen is that you're going to get a chance to be featured on their official Facebook and their Instagram pages. So, stay tuned to Sword Tour, folks. Keep in touch with them on Twitter, Facebook, or on the main site, and they'll announce the winner.
You know, this is another amazing thing that BioWare did, because not only do they not have to pay for their own advertisement now, because people are sending them all the pictures they can use to advertise Galactic Starfighter, but they also get people to spend their money to buy customizations out of the cash shop to win a contest that there's no real prize for. It's amazing. Devious and smart.
Indeed. Indeed, Q2. I agree.
What do you think, Treak?
Yeah, Treak, what exactly do you think about that? Uh-huh. Oh, really? And
translation, Bantha Poodoo.
Okay. Well, that's, I believe, all the discussion topics that we had lined up for the evening, right, guys?
I like how neither one of you said anything about any of that.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, what is there to say? You take a screenshot, you throw it at them, hey, there you go.
Well, I was going to say this. You know, they just mentioned that really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you're going, you want a chance to be featured on the Facebook and Instagram pages. But who knows? Okay, they may, you know, they always update their stuff. So who knows? You may get additional things attached to that.
Yes, but I'm saying, like, on the surface of this loop.
Right, right.
What they essentially asked people to do is customize these spaceships. Which the only way to do that is to buy stuff out of the cash shop. Because if you use the common crap everybody else has, there's no way you're going to win.
Oh, so Fred, you're going to give ugly built-in stuff?
Yes. There's lots of ugly stuff. Have you seen Treak?
Oh.
Unfortunately, yes. Oh, come on. Let's not pick on the Ewok yet.
Poor Treak.
You know, but I'm glad we've gone this far. Fred has yet to pick on Master Orgus. I'm amazed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, come on, Fred.
Master Orgus. Can I paint his jar and submit that?
As long as you don't have the user interface up when you do it.
That's okay, because the user interface always bugs on the Epic Millennium.
There, yeah, that is absolutely the case. So... All right, well, gentlemen, right on to our Star Wars recommendations. And, you know, Q2, right, now what are we going to do every single time we've got our recommendations? How are you going to call it out? What are you going to say? And off to you, Lou.
All right, this week, my Star Wars recommendation is this. Head over to thinkgeek.com. That's think and geek, one word. .com, and look this up. This will probably appeal to all the Jedi fans out there, like Arwen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book, Star Wars, The Jedi Path, Jedi Training Manual.
Oh.
Okay, well, there's a link there. Check it out.
Mm-hmm. We're looking at it right now.
Remember, we covered that earlier, Lou. He won't like it until Mark Thompson reads it to him.
Okay, will he settle for maybe Morgan Freeman reading it to him?
I'll settle for it.
Okay, or you know, Samuel Jackson read it to you.
There's
yeah,
also
Jedi Pat. No.
You want to be a Jedi, MF?
1995.
Right. Thank you for throwing Samuel L. Jackson out the window.
This book was written by Daniel Wallace in collaboration with Lucasfilm in 2011. Okay. And if you've ever wanted to be a Jedi, you need this book. Within the pages are Star Wars, The Jedi Path, Jedi Training Manual. The Jedi in Training will discover the history and lore of the Jedi Order, the ways of the Force and how to wield it, the subtle nuances of lightsaber combat, and the dangers of the dark side. And it's just like it says, folks, a training manual. You open it up, and it's written. You know, like a training manual.
Like a training manual. So if you ever see a training manual.
Here's
a
book. You know, here's your starter book, you know?
You know what to expect.
Exactly. You know, if you ever remember that one scene from the first game, Knights of the Republic, okay, when Revan first gets onto Dantooine and he's being trained, what's he or she doing? You know, other than, you know, meditating, learning combat styles, they're reading, okay? You're actually studying archives. Okay, I think there's one scene in there where your character is actually holding a book, an old tome, and you're actually reading stuff there, you know, Jedi lore. Okay, so think about it, you know, if you ever wanted to do it, folks, here you go. You know, it's something there, and come on, it does have a lot of the really great lore for Star Wars in there, especially, obviously, focused on the Jedi. So, check it out.
There you go. I want to recommend something I think a little novelty here that I think a lot of people would be very interested in. If you have an iPhone 5, Chewbacca iPhone 5 case.
Or as we'd like to say, Bodar iPhone 5 case.
The Bodar iPhone 5 case. Guys, how do you go wrong with this? If you could see it up on the stream, it even has... It's brown. It's got you know, fuzzy texture on it with the
bandolier on it too.
Yeah, it is totally cool. And if you're not a Chewbacca or a Bodar fan, no worries. Let's just go right on down here. I found this on StarWars.com. There are many different types of these Star Wars themed iPhone 5 cases. It's a tiny little thing. Here's one for R2-D2. But it says so much when you get a phone call and you know it's going to have some sort of Star Wars theme on there for your ringtone. And you know you've got a lightsaber app on your phone. Why not gussy it up with a Star Wars themed case? How do you go wrong? Here's one for Darth Vader. Look at this. It's just amazing. Again, I found this on StarWars.com. Do you even have one for C-3PO? Let's check this out.
None of these compare to that lighter.
the R2-D2 Zippo lighter.
Yes. Found.
See, that is a cool case. The R2-D2 one, that is cool.
Yeah.
I would get that.
Yeah. I don't think they probably don't have... I don't think I'm going to see the C-3PO. Out there quite a bit. It is these are licensed.
That's Darth Vader one.
They do, yeah. They are licensed Star Wars products. Okay, developed by Power A for the iPhone 5. You can head over to either StarWars.com or Power A in order to purchase these. And they go for, let's see, the C-3PO one is $34.99 on Power A. So, if you really want a Star Wars themed iPhone 5 case, there you go.
And they only sold one of those to Anthony Daniels.
Aww. Oh, Fred, just so you know, there is a Book of Sith. So.
Yes.
I was aware, Lou, when I published it.
Oh, wow.
No. This is the one from the masses, okay? Not the actual one.
Oh. Well, I don't care to have the watered down version.
Fred, what's your, Sith Lord Korv, what is your recommendation of the week?
R2-D2 lighter. No. It is allposters.com, and you can search for Star Wars on there, and they have a whole bunch of classic Star Wars posters, as well as some more modern ones.
Yeah, I like this one. Darth Vader, Star Wars, Empire Needs You. Yoda, Star Wars, The Force Needs You. The original Star Wars poster, movie poster, as well as Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, you like the Return of the Jedi one with Carrie Fisher there in the front?
Yeah, it's, you know, Slave Leia. Can't go wrong with a little Slave Leia in your life.
So why is there no Slave Leia, you know, iPhone case? Sorry.
You know what? I wouldn't... discount that.
It wouldn't cover your phone very well.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, yeah.
Very little protection.
Star Wars Yoda snowboarding.
Mm.
Oops. Yeah, I imagine this is how he got his crystal when he went to Ilum.
He was snowboarding the slopes, looking for the crystal caves.
Yeah.
Shredding, did I? Yes.
You think he was shredding the snow while he's looking for the caves?
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Here's a little slave Leia for you. Bango. All right, Fred. Is there a particular poster on this that you want to call attention to? Wow, this Vader poster is pretty legit.
My favorite was that Return of the Jedi one, just because it was an original movie poster.
Yeah. On that note,
what's that Wookiee holding up there?
What's that?
What was that Wookiee holding? That one you highlighted up there. Is he like surfing?
I don't know. I was, I'm sort of just kind of going randomly around here.
Well, I'd be able to tell you more specifically, but I think my stream has like a 20-minute delay.
Yeah, exactly. We're just now starting up the show on our stream.
I think Fred's favorite one is the one with the particular Mon Calamarian Admiral saying, you know, that catchphrase, it's a trap.
It's a trap!
Of course it is. It's the Empire. What the hell did you think?
Well, that's our recommendations for the week, guys. On to the Jedi Archives lore by our lore master, Agent Olan.
Thank you, kind sir. And from last time, continuing on with the Lost Tribe of the Sith. This is part two. Different kind of Sith. So the time we're going to cover now is called the Time of the Rot. 3,960 years before the Battle of Yavin. And I have a couple quotes here. One from Varner Hiltz. Our founders set up a power structure to channel ambitions. When it collapsed, we nearly went extinct. Or, in a conversation between Jelf Marion and Oriel Katai over the fall of the house, Katai House, I suspect your grandlord did all this herself. What would you know about it? Not much, I'll grant you, but if your mother was the key to selecting Avenger placement, I could see the old woman wanting her out of the way. Over the next millennium, the successors of the Coruscants relayed each other, grandlord after grandlord, to guide the tribe through its golden age. This delicate balance of power was preserved by several Sith factions and thus allowed the Order Division by Yara Corson to thrive on Kesh. However, in year 3960, before the Battle of Yavin, the legacy of Corson began to falter. When the Red Faction of High Lord Durnos and the Gold Faction of High Lord Palama, unable to reach agreement, placed the High Old Lady Villa Ben on the throne, waiting to settle their differences. This precarious agreement was not to the liking of Ben, who launched a plan to ensure her survival, while getting rid of the two factions and Kandra Katai, the newest High Lady. While Katai had not chosen a side, Ven feared that even if she did not become the next Grand Lord, she would determine the next successor. Thus, during a rake riding held on Donalan's Day, the champion of the Katais, Campion Day, was driven to attack the Grand Lord, who eliminated him and put the blame for the assassination attempt on her political rivals and Kandra Katai. While Durnos and Palama were publicly executed, High Lord Katai and her daughter, the Sith Saber, Oriel Katai, were stripped of their titles and their properties and reduced to the status of slaves, serving as a living example for the enemies of Ven. Shaken by the loss of her status, Oriel fled on her Uvak in the Highlands to Jelf of Marisota, a human slave she had met a few months ago and valued for his expertise in horticulture and for the absence in him of the fearful servility which was shown by the other slaves. Thanks to the help of Jelf, Oriel understood the plot of Ven, but was convinced by him to remain hidden in order to not satisfy the plans of Ven of serving as a scarecrow against her enemies. Katai remained for several days with Jelf, developing a romantic relationship, but during the 10th day, the Loser Brothers, to Sith Saber rivals Auriel and loyal Sven, found her tracks while Jelf was absent and under threat, killed her Uvak, and took her lightsaber on the grounds that slaves could not possess these status systems. Mocking Auriel, the two brothers left after giving her a shovel from Van for her new life. Kitai descended to a fit of rage and wrecked Jelf's house before assaulting the manure heap in the barn, probably with a shovel. There, the young Sith discovered an Aura-class tactical strike fighter buried under the building. Jelf of Marisota was in reality the Jedi Knight Jelf Marion, working for the Covenant, a secret Jedi organization devoted to the tracking of all Sith influences in the galaxy, who had fled in the Uncharted regions after the Covenant had been outlawed by the Jedi Order and crashed on Kash in 3963 for the Battle of Yavin due to a meteor storm. Seeing this discovery as a way to restore the status of her family and to liberate the tribe from its prison, Auriel left for Tav in order to find Kondra, whom she discovered picking up the Uvak's suggestions in the city Sioux. Broken, the former High Lady refused at first to believe her daughter, but given the insistence, Auriel gave her the means to contact the surviving High Lords and the secret phrase indicating a Kesh-shaking discovery. Having delivered the message to an intermediary, she was confronted by Jelf Marion, who had discovered the excavated ship and had followed Auriel into Tav in order to prevent her from revealing his secret to the Sith. Conditioned by her dark teachings and using a lightsaber she had stolen from a Zoo guard, Auriel engaged a duel with her lover, but was quickly disarmed by the former Covenant Shadow, who revealed that the Sith Empire was defeated, and attempted to convince her that she was different from the other Sith. Convinced by his love for her that she had perceived in Jelf through the Force, Auriel Kitai decided to abandon her project and help the Jedi to prevent her Sith brothers from discovering the Starfighter, so she warned Marion that even if the High Lords didn't know about the ship, they were about to travel to the farm on her invitation. The plan was to provide the Lords with the only four functional blasters of the planet, which were hidden by Jelf, then run away with the undiscovered ship which Jelf had finished to repair. They stole Uvak, but arrived too late, since several Sith had pursued them to the farm. These visitors turned out not to be High Lords, but consisted of Grand Lord Lilia Ven and her entourage, which included the Luzo brothers. In fact, Kitai had been betrayed by her mother, who would not believe the report, and had informed the Grand Lord in return for improved working conditions. Kitai was captured, but Marion attacked the Sith holding her. Meanwhile, Lilia Ven boarded the ship and attempted to do a takeoff. However, Jelf had already planted explosives beneath the starship, which detonated, killing Lilia and her followers while destroying the entire farm. Jelf and Auriel managed to escape the explosion by jumping into the Marisota River. Following the events of the so-called Night of the Upside Down Meteor, Jelf, Marion, and Auriel Kitai exiled themselves to the virgin jungles of Keshta, where they founded their own family, having both renounced the eternal struggle between the light and dark sides, after Jelf had intercepted a Republic transmission communication announcing the rise of Darth Revan. Despite the succession of Kondra Kitai to the Grand Lordship after the death of Ven, almost a millennium of civil war and anarchy known as the Time of the Rot accompanied Ven's disappearance. For the next 960 years, several Sith factions emerged and battled for supremacy and succession for the Grand Lords and Anti-Lords. And this concludes part two. Next week, we'll pick it up again, and the topic there will be the threat of extinction. And I want to say thank you to the Wikipedia, Force.net, and StarWars.com for their incredible, incredible repositories of lore on their sites. If you enjoy the lore of Star Wars as much as I do, everyone, please go to those sites and, you know, just get lost in it.
That was the craziest lore segment we've done yet. There was actually a Jedi and a Sith that fell in love and lived happily ever after.
The end.
Oh,
oh,
so sweet.
Makes me sick to my stomach.
Well, we want to take this time and thank our second sponsor of the evening, TweakedAudio.com, quality earbuds, free worldwide shipping. Fantastic customer service. Anything goes wrong with this product, and they're highly durable, so not likely. But if it ever does, give them a call. Hey, man, my earbuds, something happened, no problem, sending you for free. Again, because we give free worldwide shipping, here you go. TweakedAudio.com, 30% off. You'll need our code to unlock all of those awesome features with our code, Off the Record, all one word. That's right, folks. Amazing product right here. If you're looking, if you're in the market for some brand new headphones, this is where to go, TweakedAudio.com. My favorite, which I'm actually using right now, are the Miked Classic Black for $34.95 on their site. What these do is they deliver supreme audio quality. The clarity is undeniable. Again, I use it for podcasting, so pretty epic stuff. Extremely durable construction. Tangle-free cord. They come with a gold-plated, a plug that goes into your MP3 device. That helps deliver the clarity. And my favorite part about all of these is that they have an inline microphone. So it's not just for listening. It's also for talking. So maybe when you're driving around in your car and you get a phone call, switched over to your hands-free cellular device, your Tweaked Audio headphones, and enjoy your phone conversation while driving and remaining safe at the same time. Call ends, boom, you're right back into what you were listening to. Maybe SWTOR Reforged. Maybe another wonderful Quest Gaming Network product. Who knows? But it's all right there.
If there were any.
So TweakedAudio.com. Again, 30% off when you use our code Off the Record. Drops that price from $34.95. And you get 30% off plus the free worldwide shipping. Doesn't matter where you live, they're coming to you for free. Any problems, give them a call. They've got great customer service. They'll resolve your issue without worries whatsoever. Thanks again, TweakedAudio.com, for sponsoring our show in part today. And that brings us over to the Hollow Feed. Fred, what are some of the folks there in on Twitter saying to us?
Yes, on Twitter, we heard from Mara at This Is Mara. She said, Happy Valentine's Day, and she linked us what appears to be a blank Valentine's thing you could send to people.
Oh, wait, hold on a second here. Let me throw this up on the stream.
Tonight, I won't be thinking with my stomach. From Chewbacca.
Do you want to elaborate on what that means, C41?
No, I really don't, actually.
Yeah, I don't think we need to. I don't want to deal with that mental image.
Maybe, Bodar, can you explain to us exactly what this phrase, which is probably singularly from Kashyyyk, really means? Oh, it's like that. Uh-huh. Oh, that sounds graphic.
Oh, don't say that really? About it, Varwin.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Ooh. You don't have to do those hand gestures.
Right, and when you got her where you want her, then what happens? Wow! Okay, you're a brute, aren't you? So, moving right along.
You'd think Wookiees are like praying mantises, and after they mate, one of them loses their head.
No, let's not go into this.
I don't know, Fred. I don't know what's happening right now. So.
Poor Ivarwin. It must be tough being the only Republic representative on the whole show.
Yeah, it is. Oh, boy. And what else? What else did we receive?
Well, Lord Fluffy Duck happened to say that SWTOR family is now 1 year old, and he would like to thank everyone that has supported the account for the past year. Congratulations, Madmar, my apprentice.
Congratulations.
And Rode said something, but we don't have time to read that. Moving on.
He was commenting on how excited he was to finally be finishing up the SWTOR GGC Episode 1. Follow that at SWTOR, SWTOR GGC Galactic Gamers Coalition. Go check that out, guys. iTunes reviews. We've got 2 5-star reviews since the last time we did our show. Thank you very much out there. From the United States, General Doomsday on February 10th says, "Your return show is amazing, and I really look forward to another show just like it. I really have to say that if SWTOR hits bottom, I really hope you guys do something Star Wars. The Sith rule." And from Mr. Shmoov on February 21st, who says, 5 stars. "With Tor Wars recently hanging up their mics, I had to search for a consistent replacement for SWTOR news. I am glad I came across Reforged. It's like listening to my old SWTOR podcast I used to do. SWTOR Unlimited." Oh, you dirty hoe. They do their wow. show. I know. "They do their show just like I did. Go figure why I like it." So from a retired SWTOR podcaster, "Great job, guys. And let me know if you'd like me to come on your show as a special guest. At SWTOR Unlimited on Twitter."
I kind of wonder which one this is, because I used to listen to SWTOR Unlimited.
I don't know. But maybe Mr. Shmoov will send us an email and let us know, because we are familiar with that show. And thank you, by the way. It is a great honor to have a podcast send you some nice things to say about yours. And to rate us a 5-star review on iTunes is from one podcaster to another, it definitely is a very nice honor. So we do appreciate that. So thank you. Speaking of podcasts, here's what's going on in your SWTOR community. And Q2, please read this off. All right, Q2, all right.
Next segment.
And moving on. Now, I know that... No, Bodar, you're not reading this. I'll do it. Okay, buddy. Thanks. ToroCast, episode 192, posted on Monday, February 10th. The SWTOR Galactic Gamers Coalition, the SWTOR community podcast that combines the efforts of ToroCast, UtiniCast, and SWTOR Reforged, is now available as of Thursday, February 20th, and is produced and starring ToroCast Road and our very own Fred. This month we had sat down with and interviewed Eric Musco and discussed some of SWTOR's more controversial topics. And of course, ToroCast Hard Mode episode 12 is available as of Monday, February 17th. Look for all of this on ToroCast.com. Carillion Run Radio episode 111. They are officially as old as Bilbo Baggins is. Available. Their 111st episode. Available on CarillionRun.com since February 12th. February 20th, UtiniCast episode 121 is available on UtiniCast.com. The unnamed SWTOR podcast, episode 34, well, that recorded and is now posted on as of February 24th, and that can be found at GaddockGaming.com. That is GADDOCK gaming.com. Let's not forget about the SWTOR Escape podcast. Episode 26 is available on their site as of February 17th, and that is newoverlords.com, as well as the SWTOR Weekly, which is a YouTube video cast that was posted. Their latest episode posted on February 21st. And finally, we come to Tor Wars. Their final episode has been posted as of February 21st. It is on their site, torwars.com. No longer will Tor Wars be doing any more podcasts. They will not be updating their website any longer. But their site, torwars.com, will be up for a while, they said. Good luck to Deidre Hollis, who is now part of the community team over at Carbine and for WildStar. Also, do not forget to follow Fred's apprentice, Lord Fluffy Duck, on Twitter at SWTOR Family. He keeps up with everyone who does a SWTOR podcast and posts show links and when the show is available to download. So he's definitely a fantastic follow. And when I say Lord Fluffy Duck, I mean Madmar. Use hashtag SWTOR Family and hashtag SWTOR Pods for all of that updated information. And again, Madmar / Apprentice Lord Fluffy Duck.
And he is the most important person you can follow on Twitter, because you will see him and I interacting ridiculously at random points.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, sir, for all that you do, and congratulations for a year of bringing the community together. If you would like to have your podcast or videocast or fansite listed on this segment, send us an email at swotorreforged@gmail.com. That's SWTORREFORGED @gmail.com. Ooh, teeny!
And for $10, it could come even earlier than that.
Indeed. Indeed. Fred, it's the bottom of the show. Top of the time for the top of the QGN community segment, my friend.
All right, bottom of the show. Time for Corv to wade through the crap.
What the hell?
You can check out our network at questgamingnetwork.com. We also have forums at questgamingcommunity.com. Our site is swotorreforged.com. You can email the show at swotorreforged@gmail.com. We do read every email that comes in, even if they don't make the show. Sometimes we might even reply to you. Follow us on Twitter, swotorreforged, @swotorreforged. Evarwin can be found @Evarwin. Send him ridiculous tweets about paygates and use the hashtag Evarwinny. Lou can be found @GamerGuy11B. I can, of course, as always, be found @SithLordKorv, KORV. You can donate to our shows. $10 gets a special mention from Evarwin. $5 gets you ridiculed by me. You can follow all of our shows, starting with the two best. Rift Off the Record records live Sunday nights at 7 p.m. and can be found @RiftOTR. SWOTOR Reforged can be found Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And there's other stuff, too. You can like us on Facebook. And also check out some of that other stuff, like Totally Heroes, following SWOTOR Reforged at 10 p.m. Monday nights Eastern Standard Time. And they're found @TotallyHeroes. Elder Scrolls Off the Record is Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Classic Elder Scrolls Night is Fridays, whenever everyone decides to do it, at 9 p.m.
Hey.
Community Game Night is Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Shank tries to do a stream once in a while at 2 p.m. on Saturdays as well. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SWOTORReforged. Where we would love for you to hit the like button so we can get that number higher. Please do that. In fact, quit playing SWOTOR right now, pull up Facebook, and hit the like button on our page. And then you can also go to facebook.com/questgamingnetwork, where I really don't care if you follow us or not. Follow us on Google Plus at google.com/+QuestGamingNetwork. Check out all of our gaming videos, how-to guides, and podcasts live at twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork, or check out any that you may have missed or would like to watch again at youtube.com/QuestGamingNetwork. So pretty much you can find us on just about every website at /QuestGamingNetwork.
Pretty much.
Our YouTube channel is the only place you're going to see all of our Let's Play videos, including exclusive video reports on game news, Bradford and Brian's new Let's Play Fallout New Vegas series, and Conversations with QGN, the new video series where hosts get together to discuss whatever is on their minds. And we can, of course, be found at youtube.com/QuestGamingNetwork. And again, we stream this show at twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork on Monday nights at 7 p.m. And for those of you out there that maybe you're not even an Elder Scrolls fan, you need to check out Elder Scrolls Off the Record episode 100, because that episode was hilarious. We had pretty much everybody from the network almost making an appearance on there, you know, in some form. Liz put the best and most ridiculous segment in the show, and it was great.
Yeah, I think with our 100th episode, I think we did the best episode to date. With 100 episodes under our belt, it's really nice to know that we're still going and we're still going strong. And you know, like I said on that show, I really don't think there's really any end to that show. I mean, it's got a very long and bright future ahead of it, and I look forward to the next 500 episodes. To be perfectly honest,
it's gonna be great. Episode 200. When they simultaneously come on the show to announce Elder Scrolls 6.
Oh, God, could you imagine?
Oh, my God, that's what I'm waiting for. Like, yes!
And also, it's available right now. They link it in the channel, so the listeners are the first people to get to order it.
I would love some kind of... I mean, that'll never happen because, you know, they need to make their announcement happen the right way and do it at E3 like they did with...
Bull crap. With I already Skyrim. Heard you're in ZeniMax's back pocket. Don't tell me that crap.
Oh, can we... Oh, my God.
And it's going to be a pay gate. You got to give them, like, $30 so you can pre-order.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get a special edition that gives you a horse that otherwise isn't available.
Yeah. Idiot trolls aside, what I would like to do is maybe hold a giveaway on this show next week. What do you think, guys?
I think that'd be awesome.
We tried to give Lou away once, and nobody entered.
I entered 1,000 times and kept them.
unfortunately, friends and family members of the cast are
disqualified.
Disqualified.
Seriously, guys. I mean, what do you think? I mean, now I'm just kind of throwing this out there. What do you think we could give away?
Cartel packs.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if we can get together during the weekend and do that.
Just remember, folks. Like, if you win a cartel pack from us, it's going to be a day and a half delay before we can actually send it to you.
Okay.
Once you buy anything out of the market, it's a day and a half lockout before you can trade it.
Right. Remember that. What it's going to entail is some kind of interaction with our social networks, you know, following us on Twitter or retweeting us or, giving us a like on Facebook, that kind of a thing. I got to go into it a little bit and see what would help out. And, based on that, we'll see what we can give away as far as cartel packs go. But next week, we'll have a lot of information for you on this, and then maybe the week after we'll announce a winner, and we'll keep doing it too because I like the idea of doing giveaways on this show. I think it's appropriate, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, time to fly through the stars. Swartory Forged is a Quest Gaming Network production in association with the Middle Earth Network. It's time to say goodbye. Let's start with Lou.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to us. Hope you all again next time.
And Fred. And Fred. Okay. Interesting.
I was speaking Treek's language.
Bodar! Q2! Treek! Alright, ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. Thank you for joining us here. Stay tuned for the stream for Totally Heroes, Totally Live, the greatest show ever on twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. Have a good night, everyone. Be safe, and may the Force be with you!
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Is that an R2-D2 Zippo lighter?
Nice.
Okay.
There you go.
Great. So if you go to bonanza.com.
Bonanza?
Yeah. For $9.99, you can get the R2-D2 Robot Shape Star Wars Gift Flip Top Lighter. It's 2.25 inches in height by 1.5 inches width by half an inch in depth. It comes with a gift box. It's not a cheap paper sticker or dull engraved image. It's high quality lighter, and it's a great gift. So I would recommend this ridiculous f***ing R2-D2 Zippo lighter.
For all of your lighting and fire needs.
For all of your pyromancer wants and needs. Tell the police how much you love Star Wars when you get arrested for torching your father's house with the R2-D2 Zippo lighter.
Yeah. Or when you absolutely, positively have to burn down the hooch or burn the evidence.
There you go.
There you go.